Saudi Arabia seeks atomic power while America weighs security risks. The United States is simultaneously waging an active air war against Iran, negotiating a civilian nuclear cooperation deal with Saudi Arabia, and now accused of undercounting its own war debt. The combination, emerging in the final days of July 2026, creates a geopolitical risk cluster that reprices energy assets, reshapes Gulf sovereign credit, and forces every institutional portfolio manager to revisit Middle East exposure with a harder eye. The news hook is specific. On July 23, 2026, ABC News correspondent Andrew Dimbert interviewed Matthew Bunn, a nuclear security professor at Harvard Kennedy School's Belfer Center, on the risks and trade-offs of granting Saudi Arabia the right to enrich uranium as part of a prospective U.S.-Saudi nuclear cooperation agreement. The interview aired as U.S. forces conducted what the Pentagon now describes as overseas operations against Iran rather than combat under the named conflict Operation Epic Fury, a semantic shift that has triggered a congressional backlash over casualty transparency. Accurate casualty reporting is the one link most Americans have to the true cost of war, especially because it's borne almost entirely by the less than 1% who serve and their families. Alex Wagner, who served as Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Manpower and Reserve Affairs under the Biden administration, told ABC News. The convergence matters beyond Washington's news cycle. Saudi Arabia's potential path to uranium enrichment, an unresolved Iran war with disputed casualty figures, and a White House simultaneously hosting nuclear innovation events while fielding war questions represent three intersecting pressures on a region that holds a disproportionate share of global hydrocarbon reserves. For institutional capital, the question is not whether the Middle East is risky. The question is whether the current risk premium embedded in asset prices reflects the actual probability distribution of outcomes. The enrichment question: why Saudi Arabia's gold standard demand changes the calculus at the center of the nuclear deal debate is a single demand. Saudi Arabia wants the right to enrich uranium domestically rather than accepting the so-called gold standard, terms that the UAE agreed to when it signed a civil nuclear cooperation agreement with the United States, terms that prohibit both enrichment and reprocessing. Bunn, speaking from the Belfer Center, outlined the core tension. Enrichment capability that serves civilian energy needs is technically indistinguishable from the front end of a weapons program. The strategic logic from Riyadh's perspective is transparent. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has stated publicly, in terms cited widely in prior reporting, that Saudi Arabia would pursue nuclear weapons capability if Iran obtained them. The U.S.-Iran conflict, now in its post-ceasefire escalation phase, has not resolved that underlying question. The Memorandum of Understanding, signed between the U.S. and Iran in June 2026, initiated a 60-day negotiating period, but President Trump declared the ceasefire over earlier in July, and consecutive nightly strikes have followed. Our view: the Saudi enrichment demand is not a diplomatic nuance. It is a structural option on weapons capability dressed in civilian language. Granting it would mark the first time the United States has authorized enrichment rights for a Gulf state in a 123 agreement, the bilateral framework that governs civilian nuclear cooperation. That precedent alone has a probability-weighted value that bond and equity markets in the region have not priced. The casualty count controversy, a transparency failure with market consequences, the Pentagon's Defense Casualty Analysis System, the U.S. government's authoritative public record of war dead, reported a death toll that fell from 18 to 14 on Thursday, July 24, 2026, effectively removing four U.S. service members killed in Jordan and Iraq since daily fighting resumed. The number of wounded troops in the same database dropped from 482 to 420 within 24 hours. Pentagon spokesperson Sean Parnell stated that nearly 100 additional U.S. Troops had been wounded since July 7, when daily fighting resumed after the ceasefire collapsed. That figure was never reflected in the database. Defense Department officials attributed the discrepancies to a technical problem. Lawmakers have offered a sharper interpretation, that the administration is rebranding the conflict as overseas operations, rather than war to sidestep the 60-day limit on military action without congressional authorization. The reported U.S. death toll in the Iran conflict dropped from 18 to 14 on July 24, 2026, removing four service members killed in Jordan and Iraq from the count. Wounded figures fell from 482 to 420 within a single 24-hour period. For institutional investors, a government that disputes its own casualty database is a government that has lost control of its war narrative. Loss of narrative control historically precedes either a rapid diplomatic exit or a forced escalation. Neither outcome is priced as the base case in Gulf sovereign spreads or regional equity risk premia as of late July 2026. Iran options and nuclear timing. The compressed decision window. President Trump met with advisors on Iran options on Friday, July 25, 2026, per ABC News reporting. NBC News reported that during a White House event on nuclear innovation, Trump fielded questions on both the Iran war and the domestic cyclosporiasis outbreak, underscoring the compressed attention bandwidth of an administration managing simultaneous crises. The timing is not coincidental. U.S. strikes on Iran's nuclear infrastructure, which were the stated trigger for Operation Epic Fury, have created a contested assessment of how far Iran's weapons timeline has been set back. If the answer is not far enough, the Saudi enrichment deal becomes Washington's hedge. Lock in Riyadh as a counterweight by granting the nuclear cooperation terms that Riyadh has demanded. If the answer is far enough, the enrichment concession becomes a liability with no strategic justification. What this signals, the Trump administration is running a dual-track strategy. Military pressure on Iran is the stick. A Saudi nuclear deal, potentially with enrichment rights, is the carrot for Gulf realignment. The problem is that the stick and the carrot operate on different timelines, and the enrichment decision, once made, cannot be reversed. Energy and sovereign credit. The institutional risk reassessment. The Iran war has already affected energy markets. ABC News reported on July 25, 2026, that the widening Iran conflict is driving up gas prices. Houthi attacks on ships in the Red Sea, reported on July 26, 2026, raise additional concerns about supply chain disruption through one of the world's most critical maritime choke points. For portfolio construction, the relevant variables stack as follows. A protracted U.S.-Iran conflict without congressional authorization creates legal and political risk of abrupt withdrawal, which would reprice Gulf security guarantees. A Saudi nuclear deal with enrichment rights triggers a regional proliferation dynamic that lifts tail risk on every Gulf sovereign. Houthi Red Sea interdiction, if sustained, pressures shipping insurance and rerouting costs in a manner that is already partially reflected in freight rates, but not yet in broader M credit spreads. Our view, the market is treating the Iran war as an event, not a regime change. The evidence as of late July 2026 suggests it is a regime change. The rebranding of combat operations as overseas operations, the disputed casualty database, and the parallel Saudi nuclear negotiation all point to an administration attempting to institutionalize an open-ended military posture in the Gulf without the legal architecture that would normally accompany it. The Placamium view the Saudi nuclear deal and the Iran war are not parallel stories. They are the same story at different time horizons. In the short run, the Iran strikes are about degrading a nuclear program. In the medium run, the Saudi enrichment deal is about ensuring that if Iran reconstitutes, Riyadh has a credible deterrent anchor inside the U.S. alliance system rather than outside it. The strategic logic is defensible. The execution risk is severe. Here is the second-order effect the source material does not articulate. If the United States grants Saudi Arabia enrichment rights, it becomes structurally impossible to deny the same rights to Turkey, Egypt, or any other state that can credibly argue it faces an equivalent threat environment. The non-proliferation regime, already stressed by North Korea's established arsenal and Iran's contested program, would face a Gulf-originated cascade that no bilateral 123 agreement can contain after the fact. For institutional capital, the actionable read is this. Gulf sovereign credit spreads and regional equity risk premia are priced for a war that ends and a deal that holds. The casualty database manipulation, the ceasefire collapse, the enrichment negotiation, and the Houthi Red Sea campaign collectively describe a war that does not end cleanly and a deal whose terms, if granted, permanently alter the regional threat architecture. Plaquemines position, underweight Gulf sovereign duration, overweight energy infrastructure with physical asset backing outside the Strait of Hormuz, and treat any Saudi nuclear cooperation announcement that includes enrichment language as a volatility trigger, not a resolution event. The market will read it as normalization. The correct read is the opposite. The bottom line, the United States is negotiating a nuclear deal with Saudi Arabia while fighting an air war against Iran, whose casualty figures the Pentagon cannot keep consistent. Matthew Bunn at Harvard's Belfer Center identified the enrichment question as the central risk in the civilian nuclear cooperation framework. That risk is not abstract. It is a binary. Either the U.S. holds the line on the gold standard terms it demanded of the UAE, or it sets a precedent that every Gulf state with a checkbook and a threat narrative will invoke for the next two decades. The decision window, given the pace of Iran's strikes and the compressed diplomatic timeline, is measured in weeks, not quarters. Institutional portfolios built on a stable Gulf security architecture should reprice now, not after the announcement.